Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tauscher?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no, you're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
The Wednesday edition.
I don't want to talk about the new washer and dryer I just bought yesterday. Luckily, the place I got it has the Gina Della style great financing edition.
I also don't want that stupid clown showing up today. Yes, 14 of the 16 teams that have won game one per Jesse Nelson's stats and information, which I saw ESPN used yesterday. Did they give you credit? No.
They used it after I tweeted it out yesterday afternoon, too, so I think they were watching.
Sketchy. Yes, 14 of the 16 teams.
Total boog.
Boog.
I prefer Boog Powell edition. And the... I wrote about the pass rush. We spent a lot of time talking about it. I am very curious to see how those conversations go this week and if it changes this week against the Rams. Also, by the way, before we get into things, edition, two teams, according to Adam Schefter, high on Davante Adams' list.
Cowboys and Jets.
The Saints and the Jets. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Packers, not on the list.
That's interesting.
Of Wilde and Tausch.
Yeah, well, Derek Carr's the quarterback. Last time you demanded a trade to Derek Carr's team. Yeah.
Just make it a package deal. Wherever Derek goes, you go too. Edition. Of Wilde and Tausch.
He's doing it right.
He's not going with Aiden O'Connell. That's for sure.
On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. That does not appear to be True Blue Brew Crew shirt.
No, I've determined all of my Brewer shirts. I've worn them all now for postseason games, and they've lost in all of them.
Go to the store.
I wore a new thing yesterday, and they still lost. I don't have any lucky clothes for them.
You're sleek. Yeah, you're smaller size.
We're rolling
get
with
a schmedium.
We're rolling with the Greater Bucky Open shirt. We're gonna try something different. You know, let's see.
Love
if some,
the GBO.
Yeah, let's see if we get some different voodoo going toward that team, because clearly the Brewers gear isn't getting it done.
And from his undisclosed location, he is the Packers Hall of Famer. He's Mark Tauscher. Yes, you are.
Yeah.
Yes, you are. You had them rallying from
8-4,
and it didn't happen.
No, I didn't think we'd rally from 8-4. This team is gritty. I don't understand why. There's a lot of stuff I didn't understand about yesterday, but I still have belief. I still have hope, but I'm going to be real irritated if we get beat tonight and everybody's an aw shucks great season guy. That I can tell you what tomorrow's show will be if that's what it goes. So I want to see some fight. We need to advance. We got to find a way. We're better. We're a better team than this New York Mets team.
Not yesterday.
Listen, you play Little League Baseball. All right, Coach Cavanaugh would always say, we're not good enough to give five outs and six outs and seven outs in an inning.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do it.
Can't.
And when you do, you're going to get your blank beat. So, yeah, you could say, I mean, makes a great play out in left field, then drops a routine pop-up? Like, come on now. Hey, you got to cover first base, bruh.
Yeah,
you do either of those two things. You do either of those things, and this whole conversation's different this morning. But you didn't. And now you're down 1-0, and Jesse brought the stat line up, and it's not great.
Not
and
great,
now
Bob.
You don't have your horse pitch it. Like, it ain't great. It ain't great.
Jesse is the clown driving around in the parking lot.
Okay, so you can't use the hashtag undaunted and bring out the clown after one game.
All right, is that your hashtag?
No, that's what the Brewers are going. It's got
the daunted, though?
Well,
if I'm daunted, what does that mean?
You appear to be daunted, yes. It's a daunting task to come back in a three-game series down 1-0.
Undaunted, they got the whole definition.
Why are we not doing five-game series? What, we don't love, like, playoff baseball is your moneymaker. What are we doing?
So this was going to be my question. Well, they don't want it to go into November, and I think it already might.
Don't care.
Deeper in November. Let's
finish in Labor Day, like I told you. I mean, like, what are we doing?
Just to get out of the way, Dunzo's not out yet. He is not coming out today. I believe that they still have a chance to come back against this particular team.
Where
is Dunzo?
He's warming up. He's stretching in the pen. He is stretching in the pen.
In the clown pen.
Could be an early call to the pen for Dunzo tonight, but he is not out yet.
So, Tausch, since you're a big picture guy, you just said, why aren't these five-game series? My question for you is, so you've got the NBA... seven-game series now all the way through, right? It used to be five for the first round, but now it's seven. Yeah,
they like
that's how Dikembe Mutombo, RIP, beat George Karl in the Seattle
Seahawks.
For
some reason, the WNBA doesn't do that.
Yeah, five-game series.
They still don't even go, which is ridiculous.
And I think three-game before that.
I know, it's insane.
So my question for you... my question for you, you got the NHL.
Find a way to get Caitlin Clark to advance so that your game still is a top peak, but that's a whole other story. Continue.
Sabrina Ionescu is still playing.
Be honest. Caitlin Clark moves the needle there. Sabrina Ionescu is not quite moving.
Gesundheit. So my question for you is, so you've got the NHL seven-game series, Major League Baseball, three game, and then the rest are seven, right?
Yeah.
Or is the NLDS five?
The DS is still five, so it's 3-5-7-7.
So, and then you've got the NFL, it's one and done, right? And the NCAA tournament, it's one and done. My question for you is, which sports do the better job of assuring that the best team wins and advances? Like,
NBA.
Flukily... NBA. Packers can win a playoff game in Dallas, even if they weren't necessarily the better team.
Asked and answered, Your Honor. NBA.
Well, actually, I think it's college football.
No, it's NBA.
Because college football, you can lose, and it's still a subjective committee that says
this,
that doesn't matter.
Georgia
lost,
was the best
fine.
Team in college football last year. Did they win the national championship?
They did not, but that's because a committee... Okay. Shows of what to do there at the end of the season.
But you just said that they do the best job.
Yeah, because you can, like, if they make the right choice, they can put the best teams in the position to get in, even if they do lose a significant game down the stretch.
Jesse, did Georgia make it in?
Okay, that's one example. How about the previous 10 years?
Okay. I can give you 100 examples. No.
100 seems
there haven't
high.
Even been 100 playoff teams since they went to this format.
Hey, fellas. You guys gave me a Law and Order type style question.
I did.
I Judge Wapnered you.
Yeah.
And I said NBA answered Your Honor.
Yeah, I agree. And by the way, daunted means for someone to be made intimidated or apprehensive. So if you are undaunted, you're not apprehensive and you're not intimidated.
I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm a smidge daunted now after that loss. I'm daunted. We don't have our horse going. I don't know what their plan is as far as bullpen day, and it's going to be what, double bullpen days. There's some daunt.
So wait, fans, both teams are going to do bullpen days?
I don't know who the Mets are pitching. I have no.
Did you ever think, growing up on the farm? I don't know which of your brothers.
I'd be daunted?
Well, no,
I don't know.
You were never daunted on the farm. You took after your cat Grouch, who was unfazed by cows and.
Grouch was an undaunted cat.
Yeah, no doubt.
No doubt about that.
But one of your brothers, if I'm remembering this correctly from your youth, came up with the idea of pitching. Like, it runs in the family. Like, if you're a Tauscher, you're just coming up with crazy ideas that then when people listen to them, they're like, you know what? That's not as crazy
First off,
I thought.
They're not crazy ideas. They're better.
Well,
ideas.
They're
Continue.
But I would agree. But initially, the initial gut reaction is, oh, that's crazy. Those crazy Tauscher boys, they got another crazy idea. And then you pause, because this is what I do. And then I go, things that make you go, And then I think, not so crazy. Pretty good idea. But if I could get back to my original point, didn't one of your brothers, was it Pat, was it Helmut, that came up with the idea of pitch one pitcher each inning?
Yeah,
like
Pat thought of that.
It come up with that in like 1980?
So Pat thought of that a while ago, and it was in essence because what we've seen is pitch counts. You know, we saw last night, what, Peralta go four innings? Everybody's freaking out. You're going to pay a guy $25-30 million, and now you're still going to that theme. So why not get a bunch of pitchers that you're going to just go for an inning? And, yeah, I want to say this show started in 2016.
Uh-huh.
He brought that to the table immediately. And I thought...
Oh, not when you were kids?
No. Well, maybe he didn't. He just didn't tell me. But this was, you know, the case where you would look at it and say, I'm not going to dump all my money into two horses. I'm going to go get me a stable, and I'm going to just let the I'm going to ride that horse. And we've seen that unfold. Now, would I rather have a horse that's going to give me seven strong? I would.
Brandon Woodruff
but
instead of
when
throwing
you're
the first pitch to Bill Schroeder.
When you're a small market plucky team, I didn't catch it. What'd you say? I don't want to miss these subliminal. I don't know why you don't just wait till I'm done and then say it so I can.
I don't know why you don't do that to me either. But that's well, yes, I do actually.
Because I forget my train of thought.
Yes, that's exactly
that's
right.
I
yes,
it.
I apologize. I just
you
was
don't
trying
have
to,
that same issue.
I was trying to wedge in there. You were saying you want your horses, and I just said you don't want Brandon Woodruff throwing a ceremonial first pitch to Bill Schroeder, which is what he did yesterday. We want
Bill
him
looked good
pitching.
Though. You look good catching that pitch. So that was one of the things, and I think that's great for a lot of things, but just like teams are now starting to talk about the starting quarterback position and saying, maybe we just build all around that and bring in Joe Flacco or a younger version of that that's cheaper and just execute our plan. Let me know how that goes for you, people. Because I got a hunch, while, yeah, it's cute that you have the bullpen day and all this, I still believe, just like in hockey, a great goaltender can even things up. The starting pitcher the next day is the biggest momentum shifter you have in sports.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a horse go out and completely, momentum swung completely to the New York Mets. Mm-hmm. Now, if you had Woody or Burnsy or whoever it would have been that could go locked down today, all of a sudden, that momentum flips back. So, it's great. It's what small market teams are looking for, different money ball style solutions. But horses are horses, and horses are typically who eats the championship hay.
A horse is a horse, unless, of course, it's a bullpen day for your team. Okay.
I love when we talk baseball.
We're coping. You know, as I said yesterday when we had Bill Schroeder on, who was great, by the way, and we just adore him, and we appreciate every time he makes time for us, including when he's going to the ballpark to have a couple of Coors Lights and not work, and we have to listen to Boog instead on television.
I wonder how many people would have rather had me and Bill call the game than Boog yesterday.
From sitting behind them.
Jesse,
the
if
Miller.
We get you a ticket, would you digi only and sit behind Bill and do this?
You got to get two tickets because Maddie's got to be there to film it.
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
All right, Maddie, I know you're listening. Get to it. I mean, we are the flagship rights holder for the Milwaukee Brewers. I got a hunch we can probably pull this off.
We do have volleyball tonight, so I'll be watching in the studio.
Well,
let Chrissy do pre and post.
She's actually from New Jersey, and they're playing Rutgers. She probably knows more about the Scarlet Knights than I do. Yeah.
It's a perfect fit.
It's all coming together. There's a 1-1 to Adamas, and there's a swing and a drive. Make sure you tune in for Wildy and Taos.
Hey, Billy, hand me that Coors Light. What are you doing over there?
I understand.
Billy, you going to finish those cheese curds?
It's fine that we're not going to get B.A. and Rock on the call, but 2 years in a row, we get Boog, who's the voice of Cubs TV, and the Cubs reporter Jesse Rogers for ESPN as the sideline reporter. Not a big fan of that. Like, can we get Ravage at least so we get like somebody that's not, you know, council related here? Kind of frustrating.
Yeah, I can
tell.
I think
we could probably put, I think Sophia could be in there and probably do a fantastic job too.
Like, get Passan on the sideline. Like, get any of the other crews. 2 years in a row, we get Boog and Jesse Rogers doing the game.
You guys
are
the
Cubs guys.
The bottom line is, you both don't like Boog. I like his name.
No, you don't.
He's a bigger guy.
You're a liar. What? You do not like Boog.
Don't be making it sound like
Jesse and I are the ones who don't like him.
Jason, I like the fact I knew he irritated the hell out of you when he came on our show.
He was a jerk when he was on the show. Maybe he was having a bad day.
He's a little smug. He's a great Cubs broadcaster.
He's smug.
Yeah, you
smug
don't like
Boog.
Smug.
He belongs
Every
on that Cubs
I'm
network.
Smug, you get after me.
If it's tastefully done, I don't
Shut
mind
up.
Smug. If it's right. tastefully done.
No, I prefer sleek, and that is what the deals are at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
I just love you
Shut
have the
up.
Dumbest grudges. You hold the dumbest grudges, Wildy. I don't know.
Coming up next on Wildy and
Taos,
back to back. Boog Ciampi followed by Dan Orlovsky and Nicole Briscoe, all in the 10 o'clock hour. Get out of here.
Well, I'll tell you one thing you don't hold a grudge about, getting a great deal from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Get the look that you want for your home with customizable windows and doors from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. The durability of materials gets tested. They open and close those doors over and over and over, the latches, the shades, tens of thousands of times to ensure that they last for years to come, unlike Wildy's washing machine. Pella's offers custom colors and innovative features like shades between the glass, and right now you get zero interest for 36 months. Certain restrictions do apply. Halloween is the end of this. Got a couple days, but get moving. Get started today at PellaWI.com.
I don't appreciate being misquoted your Twitter, by the way. I didn't say I expected a decade or more. I expect 10 years. I got 7. And there was a guy who installs washers and dryers who said that you want to get a decade. Anything more is a bonus. I'm fine with that, but I came up 3 years short.
I said you wanted a decade. I said you wanted a decade.
You said a decade or more.
I think I said decade plus. Like, you know, you get your steak medium rare. I think I said decade plus.
What do you think the definition of a plus is?
More. We will have more.
Daunted.
Although we're going to shift gears.
Oh, by the way, I had my conversation this morning, and washing machines should be like autos. It shouldn't be, I've had a car for 10 years. I expect it to get 25 years. I expect to get a certain amount of mileage. So I want you to put an odometer on your
on
next
how many
washing
loads
machine
I
that you
do.
Just bought. And it's about the load management. It isn't about how many years Boog pitches. It's about how many pitches Boog throws.
Well, stop saying
so
Boog.
So this is now, how many loads are you looking to get out of your washing machine?
Does this mean I'm going to have my equivalent of bullpen days where I use like a washboard to wash things?
You maybe sometimes hand wash or spritz or dry clean or yes.
I will say this. I went because I had all this soaking wet laundry that did not finish its term in the dead washing machine. So I wrang it all out. I put it in multiple laundry baskets. I went to a laundromat for the first time since I was in college.
Forever.
And I gotta say, they have washing machines that you could fit you could fit the three of us in them. They're that big. It was $9. I took all the laundry, put it in that one load, got it all clean. I was back out of there in an hour and 15 minutes. I was pretty impressed.
What did that
I was thinking,
cost you? How much does that cost?
$9 for the wash and about $3.50 for drying. So what is it more conducive? Should I could I save some money if I just start doing the show from a laundromat every Wednesday?
I think a digi only, Wildy at the washing machine.
I ain't going to lie to you. If you're willing to go do a show from a laundromat, I'd be on board with that.
You and Strope have been looking for a rebrand of that weekly Wildy show. Wildy at the wash.
That actually is not a bad, yeah.
Dirty laundry with Wildy and Tackle.
There you go.
Wildy and Strope.
The spin cycle.
I want to get to this Davante Adams story before we get to another former Packer. Brian Bulaga scheduled to appear at 9:30. We'll talk a little bit about Devontae's conundrum next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Brian Bulaga coming up. Can you believe this? This is from my childhood. It still fits if you adjust the sizing inside. These were well made.
Helmet.
Not sure how protective they were, though.
Better than your washing machine, I know that.
What? You just trying to bait me?
No, the helmet's 50 years old.
Goes well with my youth large shirt that I'm wearing.
That was a good line. It kind of got lost in the shuffle a little bit. But it was a good line. Davante Adams wants to be traded. How much worse could this have gone for him? Obviously, barring injury.
Well, he got paid. I mean, he got good money.
He did. From a football legacy, though, does this mean that he was one of the business decisions?
His legacy's going to be just fine. Like, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's... Not his he's still got chapters to write. It's why you don't go and put your eggs in one basket of I'm going to play with X. Things change very quickly. And that's why I would recommend Devontae not just saying I want to go play with my buddy. I want to go play with A-Rod or I want to go play with Derek.
DC.
I don't think that's in his best interest either. So, you know, being comfortable and knowing that, that's all great. And sometimes it works beautifully. Sometimes it doesn't. It obviously did not work when it comes to on-the-field production. And even with all that said, I think he had a pretty monster year his first year with Derek Carr.
It's kind of like Charles Woodson being disgruntled and having 8 interceptions. Yeah, he did. He was really productive.
Well, great players are going to be great players. But now when you're mentally not where you need to be and it's just not working, I don't fault Devontae for asking and wanting to go out, but this isn't going to be – he's not an unrestricted free agent. The Raiders are going to go where they think it's the best fit for them. You want to kind of bulldog your way out of town, great, but you ain't going to get everything you want. If that's the case, you're going to be pretty miserable. So maybe it'll end up being the Saints, maybe it'll be the Jets. Maybe it'll end up being a great move, but I think at some point Devontae's got to look at this and just, you know, try to figure out how he wants to finish his career and it not just be, I want to hang with my buddies. Because that did not work the last time he went that route.
So, Chris, in the ESPN Madison YouTube comments, I'm always lurking, makes the point that I was about to make, which is this. And again, I have said this repeatedly. The information he had at the time he made his decision supported his belief that Jordan Love wasn't going to be what Jordan Love has turned out to be. Like, he didn't believe in Jordan Love, period. He didn't think he was very good. He practiced
with
him.
What happens to a lot of gamblers when they go out to Las Vegas?
They crap out. Did I use that term correctly?
You did.
Okay. They crap out.
He bet on the wrong horse. I know this is a horse show today. We're talking horses. He bet on the wrong horse.
Well, and now, now he's considering betting on him again.
He's trying to relive the old horse days, and you know, a lot of times, horses as they age, they're not as great. They don't get paid as much to run. I don't think that's where they're at here. I maybe I'll be wrong. New Orleans.
What do they get paid to do?
Stud. They get paid to stud. And at this point, I just don't know. We'll see, man. Devontae's still got a lot of good ball left in him. But can you imagine 2 years ago when this whole – was it 2 years or this has been 3 years now? This is his third year out in Vegas.
Correct. Yes, 22, 23, 24.
Could you imagine in 3 years – and Devontae's, what, 31 or 32 now?
I think he's only 30, but let me check that.
You start looking at this, and right now, as a Packer fan, I don't want Devontae on this team. I don't think it's a fit. I don't want to pay him the money that, even though he's not a top end. Like, if Green Bay could get him for a third-round pick today, I still am saying no. I'm still going to say I don't think that's a good fit.
Well, they already have Devontae. His name is Dontavian Wicks, as I've told you many times. All right, I want to get to Brian Bulaga, who is...
Well, how old is Devontae?
He is 31. You were correct. Yep, you're 31.
Okay, thank you.
He's 31. Not you. You're
funny
not
how when I'm right... you don't really chime in.
It's right in front of me. I was just getting that little tidbit in. I would have made sure I got it in.
Hey, don't you be booging me, Boog.
I'll give you a Boog.
Jason, if you could get Devontae for a third-round pick, are you bringing it back to
Lampa? Yes, but again, and just like the tweet that I had with who's the doctor in Austin Powers, he's doing the, come here, give me a hug to his son.
Dr. Evil.
Yeah. When I did that, that was not, I don't think the team should reacquire him either. They're fine. They don't need that.
Well, why did you tweet that then?
Because
that
I want him. Because I want him back. Media starts with me.
Okay. Sure.
It helps me write my stories. It's, so, no, he's obviously, but... Like he said on Max Crosby's podcast, had he known Jordan Love was going to turn out to be what Jordan Love has turned out to be, that would have changed his thought process. Hmm. And I think that's important to recognize.
And as the Packers love to remind you, they're also going to pay him more than what the Raiders ended up paying him.
Yeah, don't. Okay. That's...
Well, it's the truth.
They weren't going to pay
late
more
than
they
never.
Offered.
Did you ever hear the old saying, better late than never?
Yeah,
so
that's not
if
even
we
true.
Pulled this, if we pulled this, yeah, I don't know that you could fill me in on that. Does Devontae since like really regret, just a little regret or no regret? I'm guessing he really would regret how this all shook out.
Yeah. I would think so, too. Maybe someday... He'll have another edition of Receiver to promote, and we'll get in the rotation. So he'll come on the show instead of just texting me back and telling me how much Netflix paid him to go on all those shows. All right, we need to get – speaking of getting paid, you can get paid
how
up to 2 days.
Netflix pay him quite a bit?
More than we were
pretty
willing
substantial.
To. That's that I can say for certain. But – you take that money that you get paid by Netflix or by us or whoever you get paid by, and you put it in your account at Associated Bank, and then you've got the best customer service in the industry working for you. And if you've got direct deposit, even if it's from the Raiders, you still have access to your money up to 2 days early with early pay. So check out AssociatedBank.com to find out more. Brian Bulaga, Iowa. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
Wilde and Tausch is brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Tito's makes the good stuff for good times. Find recipes, videos, and more at Tito'sVodka.com.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of. But back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in. But when I go back home, I've got some famous friends. Yeah, I do.
Here. The former Packers right tackle joins us every week on Wednesdays, including today. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Okay, after the Brewers last night, everyone doing all right?
Well, I'm more worried. What's the situation in Florida? Because as I pointed out, while my frustration about a wash machine and water all over the laundry room and everything else was not ideal. There's way, way worse that other people are dealing with. How did you come out of Hurricane Helene?
We came out fine. I mean, just some damage to fences and gates and a couple trees down that I've been dealing with. But besides that, you know, we got very lucky with the way the storm went. You know, through the Gulf of Mexico. And what we just got, a lot of winds and rain, nothing too bad. I mean, down by in Sarasota and all those little islands, the Keys and Anna Marie Island, like they got flooded out. I mean, we're talking 5-6 foot of storm surge. People's houses are full of sand. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, it was crazy. Like since we're a little more inland, we got spared. Like we just got, you know, just typical, you know, damage you'd get from high winds. You know, I think like it got up to 70, 75 mile an hour winds. So just, you know, some trees and stuff that you wish you would have secured down maybe a little bit better and you didn't, like fences and gates, you know, that, you know, the arms that swing on fences. Probably should have done a little bit more secure that, I guess, just
battening down the hatches.
Yeah, I guess putting like gates on like, you know, in cinder blocks didn't really do what it needed to do. It probably should have done a little bit more. Lesson learned. I got it now going forward, what needs to be done. But it's nothing compared to what, you know, you look kind of what the panhandle of Florida got going through Tallahassee and the kind of the east coast of Florida. And then obviously what's happening in North Carolina, South right. Carolina, Georgia is not even like, it's insane. So we got really lucky. I'll just say that.
Well, it looks like you also lost your AirPods at some point. Now you've got some sweet headphones that you got over
they're
your
dead.
Head, so you look good.
Yeah, they're dead. Yeah, they're dead. I put them on and nothing was connecting, so I had to make a quick change here.
You look great. You're going to be calling plays later in the show. I do have one quick question before we move on. Your former teammate, Davante Adams, is now looking to be traded. I'm curious, were there any offensive linemen that if they had left and gone to another team, you liked them enough to change teams too? Like, he's chasing Derek Carr around the country. Would you have done that with, like, City or TJ or any of those guys?
No, I wouldn't have offensive line followed. Like, listen, I don't know if, like, but at the same time, like, you know, it would have been cool to play next to, you know, those guys again, and I got the chance with Corey going to LA to be around him for another year.
So you followed
really
him? My fault. That's
yeah,
true.
I followed Corey. He actually came after me.
I know.
But it was cool to spend another year with him and have a familiar face. But I guess it's different with the quarterbacks and the receivers, right? Like, if you have good rapport with someone, you just do, and they understand you, and the dynamic's a little bit different from, you know, linemen and receivers and quarterbacks. But I was listening to you guys a little bit before I got on, like I normally do, and hearing the Devontae talk, and would he be a good fit back in Green Bay? Listen, I don't think right now, the current situation that we have in the receiver room, I don't know if Tay would fit in fantastically right now. Like, I think the dynamic of the room is really good. And it's not a knock on Tay. Like, Tay is a true number one wide receiver, and he demands X amount of looks and throws a game no matter what. And he deserves it because he's that good. But the way our wide receiver room currently is right now, like, it's not the way it works, and it's not the way it's flowing. Mm-hmm. Like, a bunch of different guys are getting looks. There's not certain plays set up for one specific guy. And Tay needs to be in a system that, I mean, he can play in any system, but he needs to be in a system where he is the focal point. Mm-hmm. He is the guy. And then because he's earned that over his career. Like, he is a stud. So, like, he deserves to be the focal point. Like, you would look at Minnesota with Jefferson and Cincinnati with Jamar Chase. Like, you look at these systems, they're built around that guy, and that's what Tay's earned. And I don't think he'd get that in Green Bay, and because it's just not the way it is anymore, like in the current situation Green Bay's in. But I do think Tay deserves to be in a better situation. I just do. Like, I mean, you're and I get, hey, he made his decision, he went where he went, he was there, obviously,
bet on the wrong
his
horse.
Buddy,
he bet on the wrong horse.
And, he, you know, he went with his guy Carr. who, you know, and then obviously Carr left, and now he's in the situation he's in. Everyone makes their own bed, right? Like, that's the way this thing goes in the NFL. Like, you move.
Yeah.
You go where you go.
Grass ain't always greener, blue. The cash is always greener. But that mean the grass.
Yeah, the cash.
Oh, and by the way, I know you text Jesse. Jesse keeps telling us. Jesse wanted to trade Jordan Love for Derek Carr. Let's just all make sure we remember that.
Wanted to trade Jordan Love for Derek Carr. I did say that, yes.
Before Jordan Love started any games, going when
so
Rodgers
Jesse
was
been on
still
the wrong
here.
Horse yeah.
yeah. Wow. Okay, did. Jesse. I don't remember hearing that sound bite, but now that I did, man, I got to really question your evaluations.
Actually, if I remember, didn't I want to trade Aaron Rodgers for Derek Carr and two firsts?
I think that was the deal I wanted to do. You love Derek Carr now.
Yeah.
And so does Devontae.
More than Devontae.
What do you think? If you're Devontae, how does this shake out? Because you don't have control. Now, you could say, well, my hamstring's going to continue to be bad if you – because let's say New England wants to trade for you. That's not going to be a better situation. Pittsburgh. No. I don't know if that's going to be a better situation. So how this all shakes out, what are you doing if you're Devontae?
I don't know. I have no idea. Like, I don't know what situation he's looking to go to. Like, obviously a winning situation is what he wants to be in. But with that, he needs a quarterback too, right? Like, it's like Pittsburgh, yes, they're winning, but they don't have a quarterback that's going to throw – the football. What was the Friends thing? What does that have to do with it?
The group of wide receivers that they have.
That was an accident. Sorry. Didn't mean to.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Way to go, Jesse.
I just want to know the reference before so I understand.
Put up a picture of Kirk Ferentz instead next time, please.
Yeah. But I think Tate wants to go somewhere that's a winner and that there's a quarterback. And, like, you look at a lot of these teams right now, like, who are the teams that have the capital available to go get them in the cap space?
Washington. Washington could be kind of sexy.
Yeah, Washington is a sneaky one, I think. And, like, are the Jets a player? I don't know. I don't know if the Jets are a player in this. Like, they certainly could be. I'm not saying it's for sure. And I certainly don't know anything, but they could be a player in it. But I don't see that. I see it more being like a team like Pittsburgh or like or a Washington or someone like that. But I, like you said, Tay unfortunately isn't in the driver's seat with this. Like, he's not. He doesn't get to dictate the terms of the trade. He doesn't have that type of, unless there's something in his contract that we don't know about. Like, hey, he has a trade clause where he has.
He could do a Hassan Reddick, too, and say, well, yeah, you could trade me there, but I'm just not going to play. And then the team's going to say, well, that's I'm not going to trade a second-round pick for that. So it's you just hope the best, because by all accounts, and you guys know Devontae a heck of a lot better than I do, great dude, great player, still a really good football player, but I'm kind of I don't think where Green Bay's at and where they're headed, it sounds crazy to say, I don't want Davante Adams back in that locker room. And I don't know why I'm saying it, but I don't.
Like, and I don't know if I look at it from a, like, want him in the locker room. Like, it's a, like, it's going to be a personality clash. Like, I don't
wide
think
receiver
that's the
room.
Case.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't think where our wide receiver room is right now. Like, I don't know where he comes into that and fits into that group right now. And that's not because he can't fit into a group. I just don't think with the way the receiver room is currently is and the ball, the way it gets spread out to everyone and there's no true number one. If you bring in a true number one and an alpha type personality that he is, I don't know how that pans out. Like, I don't know how that works out. So, and again, I'm not a GM. I'm not a head coach. I'm not a wide receiver coach. I don't know how you balance those dynamics. I've had wide receiver rooms on teams that I've been in where it's all a bunch of number one type guys. And how that gets balanced out, I don't know. When you got a room of Devontae, Jordy, like guys that are really good players, how do you balance?
Your quarterback needs to be the key to that.
And yes, well, the quarterback.
I don't know if Jordan.
Yes.
I'm not sure Jordan's there yet. But I was going to ask you this. How close are we to anointing Jaden Reed as that alpha number one guy here in Green Bay? Because he got a lot of targets last week. He's, you know, I think coming into the season, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Blue, I think coming into the season we thought Watson, deep threat, Romeo Doubs, your intermediate, Jaden Reed, your everything, your jet sweep, your, you know, I thought he'd lead the team in receptions, but I didn't think he'd be a big play guy as well. He's done in a small sample size what we saw last week, him high pointing footballs and making plays, getting the crowd into it. Are we ready to crown him, or are we still not there?
I mean, I don't, it's a tough one because I still think the way the scheme and the system is set up with the current group of guys, like there isn't a true one. But the way he's playing, he is establishing himself as the number one, as the go-to guy. And we see in the situation that we saw the team was in last week, backs against the wall, guys were, you know, we're looked at guys that, you know, we thought we were going to be, like you mentioned, Doubs had some drops. Wicks had some drops, and the one reliable that we saw time and time and again who Love kept going to was Jaden Reed, and he was playing really well and catching passes and getting open and making plays. Like, that's what number ones do, and that's what he's continuing to put on tape week in and week out. So, yeah, I mean, you look at his output right now and what he's giving and how he's performing, it looks like number one material, and I get that Green Bay is going to continue to say we don't have a number one, but we're all watching the same games and we're seeing the performance by him, and it's showing number one receiver, and that's the way it is. And Love's going to continue to target him because why wouldn't he, right? It's not like Jordan, and that's what I like about Jordan Love so much, that he throws it to the open receiver. Like, that's what I like about him. He doesn't play favorites. But there's a reason why he continues to throw it Reed's way, right? Because he's open, yeah. But he knows he can count on him to go for 50-50 balls. He's going to catch it, and then he's going to get it and do something with it, which is also a feat and a trait about him that I like a lot. So, yeah, I mean, to me, I look at the receiver group, and to me, he is the number one guy right now. Like, that's the way I look at him. He's the number one, and yeah, these things change throughout a season, right? Like, guys get hot. Like, we saw Wicks get hot last year. Doubs came up big at times last year. But right now, we're talking about the team right now. Yeah, it's Reed. He's your number one dude right now.
All right, we've only got Brian for two segments. He's got to fix a fence and pick up some leaves and some branches and charge up his headphones. So I want to get into more Packers-related stuff. I will say this. The team that I'm intrigued by for Davante Adams is the Lions. Big Cat Joshy and I are on the same page there.
Not gonna happen.
Well, we'll have to wait and see where he ends up. It won't be in Green Bay, and all of us agree that that is not the right fit now, given what they have. I want to get into the Packers pass rush. I know Brian is an offensive line expert by trade, but why can't they get home to the quarterback unless they're playing Will Levis? We'll talk about that and much more as we roll on with Brian Bulaga. Tausch, remind us, though, about what AmFam and the Packers have going on right now.
Well, they got a bunch of great stuff going on. They got Badger stuff. But Packer fans looking for the ultimate game day experience. American Family Insurance, they have you covered. Picture this. Hit your very own VIP tailgate and cheer on the Packers from jaw-dropping seats. Enter the Dream Weekend Sweepstakes to win amazing game tickets, private tailgate, exclusive Jordan Love merch. We'll get some to Devontae as well. Sounds great, right? Well, don't miss out. Head over to amfam.com/Packers to enter. You have until the stroke of midnight on October 21st. See official rules at amfam.com/Packers. Dream fearlessly. Insure carefully.
More with Bulaga next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of. But back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in.
Roll
Brian Bulaga, our famous friend. Brian, fix the pass rush. Tell us how.
Yeah, you know, if it was that easy, they'd already be doing it. Listen, there's a combination of factors that you could always look to that why is the pass rush not working, right? Like, or why aren't we getting home, or why aren't we getting sacks or pressures or things like that? I'll always go to the most simple thing, right? Like, I'll always start here, and then you can get into other factors. The simple thing is guys need to win one-on-one matchups. And when you look at as a whole, right, if you look at our D-line, the vocal points of our D-line are Kenny and Rashawn. So if you look at any six-man protection that happens against the Green Bay Packers, which is the standard protection, either it's Jet or whatever it may be, the center's most likely going to slide to Kenny, and there's going to be a double on Kenny. And then there's a good chance that a tight end or a back will release out to Rashawn Gary's side and provide aid for the tackle. Even if it's not a chip, it's body presence that Rashawn has to change his rush pattern, which it's not a double team, but it could be a chip. It could just be body presence, and that changes the pass rush. So that leaves two guys that are in one-on-one matchups throughout a defensive line in any given play, whether that's Wyatt, whether that's Preston, whether that's Van Ness, or whoever it may be. They need to win at a higher rate in one-on-one matchups. I'm not saying that Kenny's getting double-teamed every single play. I'm not saying Rashawn's getting double-teamed every single play. But if you look at any standard passing down, that's probably what's happening. But even with that being said, I still think Kenny and Rashawn need to win more. They need to win more. They are the two guys on our D line that you expect a ton out of. And like the thing is, like Kenny played a decent game. Like, I'm not saying that Kenny played bad. I think Rashawn, he went against O'Neal, who's a really good right tackle. But we can't be saying that, like, oh, just because you played a good offensive tackle doesn't mean you shouldn't be winning. I mean, obviously, the O-linemen, we look at it as, hey, it doesn't matter who we're going against. We need to beat them every single play. It's the same for the D-linemen. Just because you're going against a good offensive tackle doesn't mean you can't win. So there needs to be more one-on-one production throughout our entire D-line. Now, to their credit, there are some times that, especially you look over early in the season, there's not a bunch of deep developing routes. I mean, these quarterbacks are doing a good job getting the ball out on time. Mm-hmm. And I know Rob said on Monday, the ESPN stat that, which kind of contradicts what I'm saying, but, you know, watching it and seeing the routes that are getting developed, that I think Green Bay is dead last from the ESPN stat of time to throw for the quarterback in the pocket. I think it's right around 3 seconds, which is a long time in the NFL. Like, that's a long time to be able to sit back in the pocket and throw the football. So, like, there's a lot of different factors that are going on with why we're not getting home, so to speak, and pressuring the quarterback. But then what Rob also said within that same ESPN statistics or, like, breakdown of, like, we're top 10 in pressuring the quarterback. So, like, I don't understand the metrics and the breakdowns and the statistics of everything because it doesn't make a bunch of sense to me. Mm-hmm. I just look at it that guys aren't being productive enough in one-on-one matchups, and they need to start being more productive. Like, I can't really get into it more than that. Like, especially when you expect your D-line to, this way this defense is to rush four.
Right.
You need to win in one-on-one matchups. And when you're only rushing four, there's a good chance one or two guys are going to be double-teamed often. And it's on the other two guys to get home and be disruptive. And I don't know if that means Green Bay needs to start running more stunts to free guys up. That could be something that maybe they start looking into a little bit more and start trying to free up Rashawn and free up Kenny by running stunts and things like that. But to me, it's individual one-on-one matchups. And that's about as easy as I can explain it, because, like, it's certainly not because the guys aren't good enough. Like, that's really not what it is. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say, like, we don't have good enough pass rushers. I think we do got good pass rushers. I really do. But the production just isn't there right now. And that's simply down to one-on-one matchups and how these guys are winning against good linemen. Because, like, besides Tennessee, we've played some good offensive lines this year. Like, if you look at the Colts, if you look at Philly, and you look at Minnesota, these are good offensive lines. So, like, these guys need to figure out plans against good offensive linemen and figure out a plan to beat them one-on-one often. And the way the defense is set up, those are the positions they're put in. One-on-one matchups all the time. And they got to be better at producing in those situations.
So, Blue, I mean, what Jason really wants to ask you, because we've had this argument for a couple of years, Rashawn Gary, is he not come on what we all hope? They paid him big money. I thought before his knee injury he was an elite pass rusher, strong, was able to get home. And he has, you know, that's what this is coming down. That is the narrative this week. Jason's going to be writing about it, I feel fairly confident. Mm. Where do you put Rashawn Gary in the pantheon of pass rushers in this league right now?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think he's a good pass rusher, and obviously before the knee injury, well, I think he was up there, a very elite-level pass rusher, and I think since the knee injury, it's taken him some time to regain that form. And I'm not saying he can't get there, but, like, if you look at, like, and I'm not saying, oh, he's never going to get, like, he's never going to be the same guy. That's not true. I don't feel that way. But if you just look, if we're just looking at production, right? Like, and I'll cut it as simple as possible. Like, production, sacks, pressures, yeah, those are down since the knee injury. And, like, I get he was slowly worked back and think, like, I get all that. But, like, there's got to be something to him coming back from the injury, and it's taking him a little more time to get back to where he was as a pass rusher. And I still think he's a really good pass rusher. I really do. I think he's going to get there, but it's just taking time. And I get people are impatient about it, and I get they paid him a bunch of money. I understand that, but, like, I still think he's a high level pass rusher, and it's just going to take some time for him to get back in that form. I don't have a timeline for it. I certainly don't have that type of crystal ball. But he certainly has the attributes and skills necessary to get him back to that. It's just a matter of when is it going to come. I don't know. I hope it's next week and we just see a guy go on a tear for the rest of the season. But I rate him highly. I think he's really good. It's just it has to just click, and it just hasn't yet.
All right, so I know Tausch has more questions. I just want to add this to the conversation. I don't want this to turn into a Joe Flacco, is he elite conversation. But I am a stickler for words. Obviously, 2019 and 2020, he was kind of stuck behind the Smith brothers, so he didn't get a whole lot of opportunities. In 2021, he had 53 quarterback pressures, according to Pro Football Focus. That was fifth among linebackers. He had 28 Elite. Quarterback hits. That was seventh. Okay. Elite. In 2022, before he was injured, he had 27 pressures in the first nine games. That had him ninth among linebackers.
Elite.
Okay. No. Yeah, I think you got to be top two
top
or three.
Top 10's elite. Top 10's elite, my friend.
Would you rather have Max Crosby or Rashawn Gary? Would you rather have Micah Parsons than Rashawn Gary? We can say he's very good. We could say, I mean, look, you guys helped me. You both tore ACLs twice. Are we still able to use that as an explanation for him not? I mean, there's a clip that was on social media, and I know people cherry pick stuff, but he gets stoned by a tight end. That's not a great look. Fair? For a $96 million dollar pass rusher. That's all. I'm not saying he's bad. I'm saying he's not elite. That's all I've ever argued. I'm done.
I would say right now, you're correct. He's not performing at an elite level. Like, yeah, I mean, like, again, I am a I look at pass rushing like very cut and dry, right? Like I don't look at it like other positions where there's a lot of other factors going on. Like D linemen, especially in this scheme, like they go get the quarterback. Like I look at this defense now how I look when I watch the 49ers, how when I watched the old Seattle film that we like and the Jets, like how those D linemen play is how I judge our D linemen, because like their job is to get sacks and put pressure on the quarterback. And right now he's not at or playing at an elite level. Like that, if that's what we're going at, do I think before, like obviously before this knee injury, like those stats that you read off, those are elite level stats, like pressuring quarterbacks and kind of the pace he was on before he tore that knee. That's like elite level type statistics. And, that's a guy that when you play him, you are on alert. Like you are on, like you're on full notice. This is the type of guy we're going against. He can cause major issues throughout a game and wreck a game. And yeah, he hasn't gotten back to that. Like, and again, like I'm not saying he can't or he won't, because I still think that guy is who we have. I don't think that the knee issue has impacted him that he can't get there, right? Like, unless, like, listen, I don't know the guy's body. I don't know his knee. Right. I don't know how he feels. I don't know any of that. Like, I have no idea. But, like, based on him being readily available for games and healthy and playing a bunch of snaps, I can only assume that he feels good. Now, as good as you can feel once you get into an NFL season, that's, you know, that's all par for the course. But I have to assume that his knee is fine. Like, it feels good. It feels strong. He feels good on it. So I can base all this on is that he just hasn't found that stride yet again, and he hasn't found kind of his go-to moves yet, or found that rhythm that pass rushers get in as they go throughout a season. Like they get in you see it on tape when you're going against high-level guys. Like they get into a rhythm of the game and what they go to and then how they set things up and what they go back to and like their bread and butter. And like you watch Rashawn right now on tape and he just hasn't found that yet. Like he seems like his rush plan is a little sporadic. And when you're a pass rusher and you have a sporadic rush plan, that means you're guessing what the O lineman's going to do and you don't have a plan. And the lineman is, or the tackle in this scenario is dictating the rush, and that's what we love. I love when I can dictate a rush. I can how I set and what I do, essentially tells that D lineman what he can do. I win. I win in the first three kicks. It's when these D linemen, you may have a plan, and he's got a plan to counteract that immediately.
Punch
that
in makes the face.
That makes our life hell. And he's currently not doing that to offensive tackles right now. So like,
Would you say you remember guys? I mean, with Julius Peppers, we slid a protection. It went from 2-3 jet to 2-3 Pep. All right, Pep's here. Jet. We're sliding this way. And Cliffy would still ask to slide the protection.
Oh yeah,
the other way. That's even just how that always went.
Even if he was on my side, Cliff still wanted that protection slid there. Just in case he runs a giant pirate stunt. Hey, what if he does?
Yeah, you got to slide the pirate and looked it. Hey, let's slide it over here. But the question is Rashawn Gary a bullseye guy? Bullseye guys are, we got to account for him. Troy Polamalu, bullseye guy. Ed Reed, bullseye guy. Julius Peppers, bullseye guy. I don't think Rashawn Gary is a bullseye guy as we sit here right now.
As we sit here right now, I don't think so. I think offensive linemen, when they play him, they are very aware of what he's capable of. But
strong.
I think if you look at it from an offensive like coordinator perspective and game planning, they're not going, we need to make sure we're accounting for him every single play, no matter what we do, because he hasn't shown it on tape that he is that guy yet this season. Right. Like again, I want to be as like cut and dry with this as I can, because like, it's only based on production, right? Like that's really it with pass rushers. It's a production based gig. Like, are you pressuring the quarterback? Are you getting hits? Are you getting sacks? If the answer is no, then offensive coordinators in this league don't have time to, like, make a game plan around a guy that's not doing that, right? Like, and that's just as, like, honest as I can be. And right now, Rashawn's not doing that. And again, do I think that he can still be that guy? Yes, I do. Because, like, I look at, like, I look at his quickness, his power, his get off, the moves that I know he can do, especially before the injury. If he can get back in that rhythm, yeah, he will be a guy that offenses go, we have to have a plan for him. And I get the patience with fans runs thin. I get it. Like, he makes a lot of money. The production, like, I understand that, and I understand the frustration with it, but it takes some time for pass rushers to find that
rhythm.
He's
in his sixth year.
This is a good week to get right. This is a good week
that's
to
true.
Get right.
Yeah, I agree. It's on a fast.
Jason's
like, listen,
down
so
on Rashawn Gary. There's
I'm
no
not
doubt about
down
that.
On him, and I know Brian's talking about getting
it's
in a rhythm during this
keep
season.
Saying.
Right,
you keep yelling
but well, I wouldn't say I was yelling, but the idea, my issue is that when you pay him elite money, you always talk about the expectation game. He's a 12th overall pick. Like, we're using the word elite, and he's never had a double-digit sack season even. I know that's not the only measure for quarterback pressures and everything else. I'm just saying, I think, and look, I don't want to write him. I'm not writing him off either. And he could have a 3-sack game against the Rams, and then that'll shut us all up, and then people that say that I was too critical of him will say, see? But the bottom line is that he is not a difference maker right now. And they need him. If there was ever a game that they needed him to be a difference maker, it was Sunday when they had Eric Stokes, Corey Ballantyne, and Keyshawn Nixon trying to cover Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. They trust Valentine more than they trust Stokes. Obviously, they trust Jair. He's their shutdown guy. They didn't have either one. They needed to be able to get home with four, and they didn't. Mm-hmm. The only two sacks they had were on blitzes. And if you want, it's as Jeff Hafley said to us, it's simple math. If you can get after them with four rushers, you've got an extra guy in coverage. If you have to blitz, you don't. And you needed an extra guy in coverage against those guys. Tausch, you got the last question so we can let Brian go.
No, it is time. I just think this weekend versus a team that is down a bunch of tackles. I don't know if Havenstein is back playing, but they are down. They got their wideouts are down. This needs to be one of those games that gets this narrative because you know how this goes, Blue. The narrative, if your O-line gives up a bunch of sacks, that next week everybody's a little bit more bowed up because the last thing you want to be is the weak link on a team, and you don't want to be viewed. You want to change the perception. This game this weekend needs to be a perception changer for that group up front, and I think Rashawn Gary is kind of the poster child for that.
Yeah, they need to have a big game. There should be no reason why this doesn't look like that Titans game from a D-line standpoint. There's no reason. And listen, I'm an O-line sympathizer. That's what I am. I mean, at the end of the day, but there's nobody on that Rams offensive line that should be consistently able to block our guys in one-on-one situations. There just isn't. And Havenstein, I got a lot of respect for him. He's played a long time. He's a good right tackle. But I don't know if he's healthy or not. I have no idea, right? I saw that he missed a couple games. I don't know if he's back yet. Havenstein's a good tackle. But as much as I like him as a tackle, I still think Rashawn Gary should be able to beat him at a high clip. Not because I think Havenstein's bad, but he hasn't played a lot of ball this year. Mm-hmm. He's obviously nursing an injury. Rashawn should be able to go at him. If I had to take a guess, there's going to be a lot of Packers fans in this stadium. There always is out in LA for some reason.
Crowd noise.
It's a very fast track, which benefits these guys, which benefits the D line. Like, this should be a very, very good game for our defensive line. They should be ready to go for this one. And I expect them to. I really do. I expect them to. But hey, you got to put it on the field. You got to put it on tape. Amen. You got to show that this is the group that you are. So, like, while I expect it, we got to see it. And that kind of speaks to Jason's point, that what he's been saying, like, got high draft pick, got paid a bunch of money. The results have to be there. And, like, it's not saying that he can't do it or won't be there, but, like, it's got it. Like, it has to start showing up. And, and listen, there's probably nobody that knows that more than him. Like, there, I mean, like, and for the little I know, Rashawn,
he's going to hear it all week.
With them.
Wilde, Domofsky, like everybody.
I'm just saying, like he has high expectations for himself. And
sure.
Like, the time I got to spend with him, he has high expectations for himself, and he believes in himself. So, like, there's no one putting more pressure on himself than him, which sometimes is a negative because you're pressing too much. But I think he knows very well that he needs to be the bell cow of this D-line, and he needs to put up big numbers for this team to succeed defensively. So he knows it, and I think he's going to have a good week this week. I really do.
I hope so, too, because then we can talk about something else next Wednesday when I see you. Brian, you're the best. We never have you not live up to our expectations. Thanks for all the extra time. We kept you way longer. Again, just carve out the time. It's just going to happen. We can't help ourselves. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. All right, guys. Take care.
The 10:19 hour starts in 2 minutes. Stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.